you, Happy Day Singers, for that song, and we're delighted to be able to have you on the program. Now, let's get our Bibles down, and you turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. If it's able for you to do so, follow along your Bible, otherwise you listen real carefully, as we'll read rather rapidly. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a sound or a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Our subject today, God's grace to an unsaved preacher. We are living in perilous times with regard to the record or to the religion of this present hour. Multitudes claim to have been saved, but they say they have accepted Christ as their Savior. They have been baptized, joined the church, yet they never go, and they still live like the devil. Their lifestyle speaks of the world, smells like the world, acts like the world, and results in the same damnation as will come upon this world, as God said that He's going to do it. He's appointed a day in which He's going to judge this world, and make no mistake about it. Yet these folks all point to some time in their life when they supposedly met Christ. Most cannot tell what took place, nor the details of the event, but all claim to the same thing. They supposedly are saved. This is the sad criterion of the day's religion, and it is a great hindrance to the propagation and the giving forth of the truth. Now what about you, my radio friend? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, or have I described your situation? If I've described your situation, let me urge you to do this. You throw it aside, because that's not the way that God saves a sinner. People today just don't ever hear of the method that God uses in salvation. And so today, for a few moments, we're going to look at the Word of God, because you and I have to understand one thing, and that is this, that your salvation experience, and it is an experience with the Lord, it must parallel that of the Apostle Paul, or else your experience is wrong. God made the Apostle Paul's salvation experience a pattern, which means that our experience must have in it the same characteristics that the Apostle Paul's experience had. Therefore, we need to look at these characteristics, and we need to study the conversion of Paul as never before. Look with me now at Paul on the Damascus Road. We see, first of all, he is a preacher, or a individual, I should say, a member of the Sanhedrin. He's a preacher or a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was known as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, telling us very clearly that he was well-known, well-versed in religion, and filled with self-esteem. No one could convince Paul that he was a lost sinner and didn't know it. The same is true today with the vast majority. We have a generation of people filled with self-esteem, which means they are proud of themselves. Some are proud of their race, some are proud of their face, and many are proud of their place. They are filled with pride and arrogance, and don't realize that they are nothing but a hell-bent, hell-born, hell-bound, and hell-deserving sinner who is under the judgment of God and has been duped and blinded by the devil himself. Many glory in their church, their denomination, their achievements, yet they have never seen themselves as a poor, wretched, blind, naked, miserable sinner before God. This was the case with the Apostle Paul, and he didn't know it. And it's the situation of every sinner apart from Christ, whether he be a preacher in the pulpit, a deacon or a Sunday school teacher in the pew, or the sinner in the gutter. They're all on the same plane. They're lost and going to hell. Man today needs Christ above everything else. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever met the Lord, my radio friend? Do you know Christ as your absolute, personal, all-sufficient Lord and Savior? Oh, I hope that you do. We have been studying the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Today we shall show you the grace of God as it was extended to Paul and is it to every individual who is ever converted. Listen like you've never listened before, because your soul may be at stake. This preaching will either confirm you or it will convict you. If you cannot go down the line with us as we set it forth, our hope is that it will convict you. We find very clearly it will depend whether or not your conversion experience is of the Lord or is of the flesh. If it does convict you, my hope is that the Lord will bring you unto himself and save you. Preachers need to be saved just as well as everyone else. And today, there are many preachers who have never truly been born again. It is sad, but it's true. If you are saved, this preaching will confirm you and make you rejoice, be stronger in the Lord, and should make you more desirous to live for Christ like never before. Now let's look with me, if you will, at the Apostle Paul in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and see the grace of God manifested to him on the road to Damascus. In verses 1 through 3, we see him in his unsaved condition. He was rebellious against the Lord, his will had been crossed, so his enmity was revealed, and his resolve was to get rid of that which disturbed him. And beloved, this takes place unless God breaks the individual down. You see, somewhere down the line, God's going to cross your will. And when he does, my friend, I'll say to you very kindly, it's going to affect you one way or the other. And my hope is that when he does cross your will, that he'll give you the grace to repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was unable to change his condition, for he is a totally depraved sinner. Total depravity of a sinner is a condition of every individual born in this world. Hold your seat now as I give you this truth. Man is born a sinner, not becomes one as so many teach. David said in Psalm 51 and verse 5, where we read, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In Psalm chapter 58 and verse 3, we read again, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." In Job 14, we read again, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days, and full of trouble. He cometh forth as a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not." In verse 4 of Job 14, we read again, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." These and many other verses teach the total depravity of mankind. Paul was in this condition, so is everyone else at this present hour outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man needs a supernatural birth, given to him by God. Only God can change man, and this is where the grace of God comes in. The first thing we notice is that the grace of God to Paul was a sovereign grace. In verse 3, we find, "And as he came near Damascus, suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Here's the first thing that happens in sovereign grace. Paul heard a voice speaking unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou?" "Lord." Paul heard the voice, but the others merely heard a sound. They did not know what it was, and they were not affected as Paul was. It was sovereign grace that God gave to the Apostle Paul, and it's the same thing at this present hour. You see, my friend, God's grace is a sovereign grace. This is the reason people can hear and hear for years and never be affected. God's sovereign grace has not come to them. Until it does, they remain unaffected, unaware, and unsaved at what happens to others, and they do not understand because the grace of God is a sovereign grace. Someone might not be saved, but it's the reason Paul was singled out by God. This sets forth God's sovereignty in salvation. God selected Paul to save him, as well as use him for God's glory, and beloved, and to set forth too that our salvation is all of God, and we find it's all of grace. If God had not saved Paul, called him to the ministry and sent him to Macedonia to preach the gospel, you and I would not have been converted today. Did you ever realize that? You see, God stopped Paul from going to Asia, and he went to the western, to northwest of Greece, and up into Europe, and then the people came over here from Europe, and we find our country was founded by godly people who were saved, all because of the God's plan and purpose that he singled out Paul for. And he separated him from all others. He supernaturally did the work of grace in him so that many would be saved. And beloved, it's no different at this hour. Now, if you are a saved person, God selected you before the foundation of the world to be saved. He also determined the time, the place, as well as the individuals who were to be involved in your redemption. You didn't know this until you came to know Christ. Then the Lord teaches you and has taught you that God's grace is a sovereign grace bestowed upon you. When you realize this, you can never get away from or get over the reality of God's marvelous personal sovereign grace. There are many today who speak of God's sovereign grace, but they are strangers to it. When confronted with God's sovereign grace, they admit it is a that is not personal to them, and it was not so with Paul, and it's not so to those who have experienced the grace of God. I have met many who call themselves sovereign grace preachers, but they do not know the grace of God to them personally. Now, as I mentioned before, God's grace is sovereign, but it is also personal. Now, hold your seat and pay close attention. Paul knew personally what it meant to be dealt with by the Lord. He knew when God called him by name, and he called him and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Paul knew what it meant to have God against him, and also to the shock that came to him that he was against God, and he always thought he was on the side of God. Now, beloved, this takes place when God sets out to save a sinner. What in the world are you talking about? God will stop the individual on his road to hell. He will call that individual by name. Remember now, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, is what the Lord says. And we find other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Now let me stop right here. Has God ever called you by name? When he does, you'll know it, beloved, because the hour now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, how we need to preach this more and more at this present hour, because people have the idea they're doing God a favor when they supposedly get saved. You see, Paul was on his road to hell. He was a sinner before God, and you and I were sinners before God. And wasn't it wonderful when God stopped us, called us by name, and spoke to us individually and absolutely? Now, hold your seat. You won't hear a voice from heaven like Paul heard, but you will hear a voice from heaven reaching down into your innermost soul. Beloved, when God does this, you will know that you know that you know it, that God is speaking to you, and we find very clearly it hasn't changed at one day. Or I should say, hasn't changed one bit. The Apostle Paul heard the voice of God. It was God's grace that stopped him. It was sovereign grace. It was personal grace. And, beloved, it's the same thing at this present hour. Then, I want you to notice the third thing. It was experiential grace. The greatest experience Paul ever had in this life was that when the Lord reached down and saved him, and he knew what it meant to be redeemed by the Lord. It is still the same at this hour. Paul spoke of his experience at least 3 times as given in Scripture, yet there are many today who say that salvation is a mere acceptance, a mere uttering of prayer, and being told that that is salvation. Now, my friend, that is not so. But let me ask you a question at this hour. What about you at this very moment? Can you go back to the time you stood before God, a trembling, astonished, afraid, an awakened sinner, because the Lord God of heaven was dealing with you? You knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God was dealing with you, didn't you? I did, and I'll say to you very kindly, yes, it was a traumatic experience, but oh, what a personal experience it was. You see, it was sovereign grace, and then also it was personal grace. And then we wind up, we find very clearly, it was saving grace. Now, hold your seat and pay close attention. The Apostle Paul, he said to the Lord these words. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, most people would say right then and there, Paul got converted. But, beloved, he didn't. How do you know, preacher? Well, in verse 11, listen to what it says. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Oh, beloved, you remember when God dealt with you? You remember how that you were filled with anxiety? You were filled with consternation? The Lord God of heaven was speaking to your heart individually. And, beloved, you knew that when you stood before God on the opposite side, and you knew also, didn't you, that if God didn't save you, you'd never be converted. And what an experience it was. You see, it was personal grace. But then, wasn't it a grand day when you prayed unto the Lord God of heaven, and the Lord God of heaven answered your prayer and revealed himself to you as your all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Now, this is what happened to the Apostle Paul, because he said very clearly, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. You see, Paul had Christ reveal himself inside his soul, and that's exactly what happens when God reaches down and saves a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ becomes more real to us than our own flesh and blood. He's closer to us than they are because he lives within us. And how wonderful it is when the Lord Jesus Christ does that to an individual. Now, as I've mentioned before, before he does, he's going to stop you in your tracks. He's going to cause you to hear his voice. And then he's going to put you down in the dust and ashes of repentance before him, as the Apostle Paul was put down in the dust on the Damascus Road. It was also the dust and ashes of repentance as far as the Apostle Paul is today. Or I should say was at that time. Now today it's no different. God still says that salvation is repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now my time is just about gone. I want to ask you a question at this hour. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been down the Damascus Road as far as you're concerned? Oh, my friend today, listen, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to stop by your heart's door and to move upon you and to show you your need of him and then bring you to a saving knowledge of Christ. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here of the Mercies of God of Little Rock saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.